Professor Akilakht Basoyer says African universities get a bad rap. Sawyer is the Secretary General of the Association of African Universities in Accra, Ghana.
Virtually the entire public service in almost every African country has been manned by university graduates from our institution who, for the past 30, 40 years, public and private sector. In other words, except for the first decade or so when the graduates from foreign countries were the main cadres, the bulk of the leadership of African public and private life have been graduates of African universities.
But times have changed, and today's markets need more than a labor force trained to meet the needs of the public sector. Modern economies, Sawyer says, require more and more graduates. However, slow-growing and stagnant economies make the release of more funds from national governments unlikely. He says universities are being called upon not only to tailor curricula to local labor market needs, but also to seek increased donor support and to do more with less, or rather, to use funds wisely. Sawyer says his organization, the Association of African Universities, is working to do this. It encourages its 200 member institutions to share information on solutions that work.
One thing which is quite striking, and this is something which struck me when I did my survey, was the degree to which virtually every university was innovating to cope with their problem. You know, the picture of the collapse of institutions is only half the story. People are really working very hard, innovatively, to try to make the most of the very difficult conditions that they confront.
For example, to alleviate overcrowding, the University of Dar es Salaam in Tanzania has sought to construct new buildings to accommodate the successful drive to increase enrollment of its ambitious institutional transformation program. The university has also appointed a centralized manager to allot classroom space more efficiently and fairly among various faculties. Before, faculties and departments controlled their own space, which sometimes went unused. The university has also brought the number of women attending up to 30% of the total student population. Among the strategies used was to lower the cutoff points for entry for girls. However, that effort was combined with one to bolster their performance upon entry with so-called bridging programs, especially in math and science. These remedial courses were provided after graduation from secondary school and ended shortly after entry into the university. More money is also coming to support African universities from outside sources. For years, say education specialists, donors placed more emphasis on improving primary and secondary education than university education. In 1989, World Bank spending to Africa's universities dropped from 17% of the bank's education budget to just 7%. As a result, Africa's enrollments dropped, as did its academic research output. But with the realization that higher education can provide better employment prospects, higher salaries, and greater tax revenues, and improved governance, donor support for universities is on the rise. National governments are also working to find new revenue sources for higher education.
For example, in Ghana, the government set up an education trust fund, which drew from the national tax revenue, 2% or 2.5% or whatever of that, which then formed a trust fund. From this trust fund, for the first time in decades, government is now able to build structures and provide equipment to universities in Ghana. For many years, government simply did not have the means to provide basic infrastructure and building as the numbers expand. But with a trust fund, for the first time, government is able to do some, not all, but some of these money. So what I can say is that many governments are now putting more money into closing the gap between resources and numbers.
Outside organizations are also helping to bring renewed financial support to Africa's institutions of higher learning. One is the Association of African Universities, headed by Professor Sawyer. He says one of the problems of the continent's research centers is the isolation they have not only from the outside world, but from each other. In an effort to improve the situation, he says the AAU is trying to capitalize on the knowledge of the diaspora. He says past efforts to move Africans back to the continent have had mixed results. He says it's expensive to move them and to pay them good salaries. On the other hand, he says a less expensive way is to convince professionals in the West to spend a couple of weeks, for example, teaching at the university for free during the time when they would be coming home during the holidays to visit family.
There are several experts abroad who spend a vacation at home while I was at the University of Ghana as vice chancellor, I organized for the top medical people, when they came back, to give 2 weeks, 3 weeks of their time teaching at the medical school. The faculty at the medical school and the students found the short visit of these people tremendously uplifting. Now, that did not involve any major change or major expenditure. It just required the networking to make that happen. In my example, you pay them nothing whatsoever, zero, because they're coming home on vacation anyway.
Another institution aiming to improve the finances and quality of Africa's universities is the World Bank. A senior education specialist in the bank's African Human Development Department, Peter Materu, says the institution has been working in several countries to help universities meet the needs of their developing economies. That includes improving curricula.
Many employers are saying it's not only the disciplinary knowledge, the subject knowledge that is required, but that soft skills, communication, teamwork, flexibility to adjust in new situations. Soft skills are becoming increasingly important in today's labor market. And this is an area where the traditional way of teaching and learning did not emphasize enough.
The World Bank has also worked to improve curricula over the past year at Eduardo Mondlane University in Maputo, Mozambique. Matero says reforms there helped reach students who were having a hard time finishing school. The bank is also working with African universities to introduce mechanisms to monitor quality, and it's implementing a study that will invite an international advisory panel to suggest how it and donors can work together to help transform Africa's universities into mechanisms of support for economic growth. I'm William Eagle in Washington.